So let's go and have a chat with our Friday fancy followers for Brad Gray from Racing New South Wales. Morning to you, Brad.
Good morning, Andrew. Yeah, you're right. There was plenty of interest in that trial this morning, wasn't there? I was having a close look at Hartnell, and the old boy looks to come back as good as ever. He just turns up prep after prep, doesn't he?
Yeah, look, it was a case of James Cummings telling us that he was happy with all of them, really. They just poked around, and I think listening to him, he was pretty delighted by Kia Michi.
Yeah, she looked to slip through her gears very nicely there down the outside, so an exciting prep for the Golden Slipper winner too.
Yep, for sure. How's your feeling of a soft six and, in, you know, may improve a little bit more, but not much?
Yeah, we've got the rail out a long way, which can be a little bit deceptive, I think, for Punnestine. That'd be a bit on pace, but I think it will play pretty fairly, as Randwick has done. The soft deck poses a few little issues as far as the form goes, and there could be a few form reversals, because the last 5 weeks on Saturday has been racing on heavy. So those who fancy getting back on top of the ground could turn their form around a little bit.
Okay, and as we know, Simon's away, so Adam Blenko from Racing and Sports is online as well. Morning, Adam.
Yeah, morning, Andrew. Morning, Brad.
Mate, I like a clash, and we've got two of them this morning. Ah, oh, fantastic.
Very nice.
Yeah, I love it when boys clash. And we do that straight up in the first of your fancies, guys. So, Brad, you start with race six tomorrow, the Everest Carnival Handicap.
Yeah, it seems we're both waiting to the back end of the card. I certainly do think it warms up. There's a couple of shorties there early in the day, but I think there's a few angles we can take later. And you're right, it does start in race six. I'm with the toppie here, Dr. Drill. He should be able to work across from his wide drawer and sit out Tory Joy as it currently stands. That might change a little bit if the first emergency, Ula Saba, gets a run. But as it stands, shouldn't have too much trouble carving across. And I really like what he did there last day. He didn't look all that comfortable on the heavy ground, and it was a very heavy testing track that day at Randwick. Despite that, really boxed on nicely, ran second to Wugok, who we know is an absolute swimmer. So certainly lost no admirers there. He'll park outside the lead here, and he's got a really nice turn of foot. He's one of those imports that can do it at both ends, and he's a horse that drops right back in grade here. I like how this sets up for him, and I think we can give him another chance at the odds. There's still a good little edge there at the $5 mark. So race six, number one, will kick us off.
Righto, and T.O. Nugent, the Victorian-based apprentice, coming up to ride a couple of these tomorrow for Mara and Eustace. So race six, number one, Dr. Drill for Brad at $5. You certainly like something at a bit of odds here, young Adam Blenko.
Yeah, I'll take young. It's a very polite clash. I'm no knock on Dr. Drill, and I'm a little bit outside the market. I've just found one here that I think will outrun his odds, and that's the 8, Costello, who... It's okay first. That wasn't a great run first up, but I'm banking on him being much fitter and improving away from a heavy deck there. Heavy deck mile first up. I think we're probably right to be fairly forgiving of his effort there. And well, he's beaten less than three lengths, so we probably don't need to be too forgiving in truth. He did enough, and he's twice a winner from two attempts at the trip, which is all very well and nice. But it's the second up run last preparation that I'm really interested in. That was a terrific win at Warwick Farm there. And his big odds are there, but his splits were terrific. His splits hinted at him being, maybe fringing on a stakes performer there, the way he closed that race off. And, yeah, he won again on the back of that and then went on a Derby prep. He was well held in the Derby, but he ran okay. And his Rose Hill Guineas run was a cracker there. He sort of closed the race off really nicely. I think if he ran to that sort of level of form here, he'd be right in the finish. So, I think he's fairly well handicapped, Costello. He might be another runaway, but I think at those odds, you can certainly run beyond those odds. Barrier 1 gives him a bit of a cheap run and a chance to, sort of edge his way into it, and I think he'll be strong at the finish. So, yeah, race 6, number 8, Costello, I think he's a good gamble.
Righto, so he's $15 for the win and $4.40 the place. And, I mean, you gave us Amarok last week at good, juicy each-way odds.
Yeah, unfortunately, we couldn't quite land it there. I guess part of the reason we got the odds about Amarok last week were that he did look like he could get too far out of his ground there, and that was the case, and the leader pinched it, but he certainly ran well. And I think, as I said, Mitch Friedman's probably the one you want to be popping in the black book. He's a really talented young trainer up at Ballarat.
Understand. All right, so there are the boys' thoughts in race six now. Our next clash is straight into the next race seven. Adam, you go from one at double-figure odds into the favourite here.
Yeah, big change of scenery for me. This sounds like a bit more of a grisly clash, this one, if Brad's against Lundberg. I think Lundberg will win this race. He was good last time. I think Notation and Lundberg come into this off good wins, and I don't have much between, I have nothing between them on the ratings of those two wins, Notation and Lundberg. So not really making the case for him straight up off the win there last time, but I just think he's got upside above and beyond where Notation can go and above and beyond where the rest of this field can go. He won last start. He won by a couple of lengths, but I think he was still 5 or 6 pounds below where he was at the back end of last preparation with that form around Vega Days. It was terrific against the clock there. He ran some really good sectionals when he was second to Vega Days, and then he was really solid again in a good time race behind Vega Days. And that form all worked out really well. So what I'm really banking on here with Lundberg is that he goes right on with the win last time. I think that's just a stepping stone win, if you like. And a little bit like Costello, I'm looking at him coming off a heavy track last time onto something a little bit better, a little bit firmer footing here, and thinking that he can improve to another level. So, yeah, I'm pretty keen. Race 7, number 8, Lundberg. I think he'll get the job done.
Well, he's the favourite at 270. Come on, Brad Gray, you're going to cause... Well, Lundberg's the favourite. You're not far behind with your fancy.
Yeah, that's right. Isn't Lundberg the poster child for racing and sports? I thought Simon was overseas, and he's still flying the flag.
I went looking for previous... I keep all my pieces of paper and stuff, and I went looking. There it is. Simon tipped it the other day at $2.50 a couple of weeks ago. So you're right, Brad. He's not far away, Adam.
Yeah, that's right. I know that we saw a few pics of, I think it was Duff floating around overseas with his Winx hat on. I reckon Denopoulos is over there with his Lundberg hat on running around in Europe.
he could well be.
Yeah, I do like notation here. I haven't got much more to add on in terms of what Matty Dale said this morning. I think he summed it up very nicely. It's a very similar race in terms of the setup, drawn wide, carves across, makes its own luck on the speed. And I just loved her strength through the line there at the end of 1,400 metres. Her last 200 metre split was the quickest in the race. And when you're doing that from the front, it makes you very, very hard to run down. Of course, handles all decks. Robbie Dolan gets back on board and give it another charmed run. He won on it two starts ago. And I think it's just a horse absolutely flying at the moment. And as we know, the strike rate is outstanding. It's won 5 from 8, 3 on the trot, 2 with Matty Dale. And I don't think it has to do much more than what it did there last time. I am certainly wary of Lundberg. And Lundberg is the one that's probably just going to be camped right in behind. But I've got a little query, and I might be proved wrong there on Saturday. Maybe at the end of 1,400 metres, maybe that just sees him out. And that certainly won't be the issue with notation, given the way she found the line there last start. So I am firmly in her corner. Race 7, number 5. May the best horse win.
Yeah, listening to you there, mate, you're certainly not put off by notation taking on the older horses tomorrow.
No, I think it's a nice logical step for her. And the way she won with the dominance there last start, and she gets a nice little drop in the weights, and I don't think that'll faze her in the slightest.
All right, so there's the clash. Notation 310, Lundberg at 270. Might take a Quinella in race 7, or a trio, maybe. Let's have a look at your last, Brad. It's in the next race 8, the Winter Racing Handicap.
Yeah, with Travancore here, race 8, number 10. I like the way that this horse has come back. It's started a new chapter under Claire Cunningham, and we know that Claire's a fantastic trainer across all horses, but particularly with these tried horses, she just gets every last bit out of them. And now he's found his form, this horse. He's got out to his right kind of trip. He won there at Canterbury, two back over 1550. He went to Rose Hill over 1500 metres. And despite being beaten, I thought there was so much merit in the run. He was last on the fence on a wet track where you don't want to be, and really rattled home. His last 600 metres was 5.5 lengths quicker than the next best. So I know you can pot a few holes as far as No Escape and Fuel not coming out and franking the form, but just on that, the way he hit the line there suggests that this is a horse right at the top of his game. He only has to hold it. I think he's right in the finish here. 1,600 metres at Randwick now is a perfect little progression for him. And you look at a lot of these rivals in this race, and a lot of them are quite one-paced, whereas Travancore has got that nice turn of foot. There's a bit of speed here. It should set up for him, and I can see him rushing home over the top. So quite keen on his chances there in the 8th. And as I say, what's that? Race 8, number 10.
Race 8, 10 Travancore, $4.60 right now with Tab in Race 8. And Adam, you come home for us in the last.
Yeah, another really interesting race, the last there. And I think the market's right in coming up with Grey Worm and Natalia as the two at the head of the betting. But, you know, I certainly found them as the starting point, but I had them the other way around to the market. I thought the little edges were probably with Natalia at 1,000 metres and with the recent racing under a belt. I think Grey Worm's a really talented horse heading the right way, but I thought 1,000 metres was certainly on the short side for him. I have him pegged as his form last preparation said he was a 1,200, 1,400 metre horse, and I think 1,400 is where he'll sort of end up and where he'll probably run his best races. So I'm happy to sort of bet against him at the 1,000 metres and particularly with a good option in Natalia. I thought she was really good there last start. She was well back last start, so the money certainly fancied her off the good Gosford win first up, where she was pretty keen there first up and did a good job to come away from them. I think she's just a level above them. And yeah, I liked the run there last time. I think it sets her up to run really well. She'd get a cheap run here for Tim Clark from the inside draw. And Yeah, I think it's a deep race, a lot of interesting little angles, as I said. I'm pretty happy Designer Maid's come out because she was just another element that was going to be sort of tricky to line up, if you like. But I think the race presents pretty well for Natalia. I think she's worth backing in the last there. So race 9, number 12, Natalia.
At the quote of $3.80 behind the favourite Grey Worm at $2.70. So there are the boys' tips. Brad Grey goes 6-1 Dr. Drill, 7-5 Notation, and 8-10 Travancore. And from Adam Blenko, it's 6-8 Costello at $15, 7-8 Lundberg, and 9-12 Natalia. And to both of you guys, Brad, I'll ask you first, but certainly the build-up, not only this morning's trials, but the discussion around the Kosciuszko, it's got people really up and about. You know, the tickets are for sale, as we know, but it's beyond that now. People really talking about what horses should be in the race.
Yeah, 100%. It's got a nice little bit of momentum at the moment, which is great to see. And the quality of animal is another thing, isn't it? Like you're hearing horses like Notation, Fell Swoop, being in the mix. It's going to be a real quality race.
Even Bobbing, provincial championship winner, now trained out at Scone by Bernie Kelly.
Yeah, 100%. The 1,200 metres is probably as sure as he wants, but, geez, wouldn't he be hitting the line hard there at Randwick over 1,200 metres if they put the speed on?
Yeah. Are you feeling the same thing, Adam?
Yeah, I think it's been a fantastic initiative. I mean, amazing to think that those sort of horses are being spoken about and being planned for so many months out. That's sort of incredible when you think about it, and it just gives you another element with the country, you know, country final in the autumn there, and now you've got this in the spring. So you've got a real sort of year round, you know, to tie in all those highways. You've got a bit of a year round theme going to sort of, you know, figure out who the best horse is from those areas. And yeah, fantastic initiative.
And Adam, the Everest certainly got everyone talking with the Melbourne Racing Club and how it's going to work through with the Scalacci, but The slots are going. Coolmore is sitting there. Will they stick it out and maybe stay at home with a horse like Yes, Yes, Yes? Or do they go with Aidan O'Brien's horse, 10 Sovereigns, who was very impressive to win the July Cup?
Yeah, he's an awesome horse. He got back on track there. He'd had a couple of sort of flat runs, if you like, but with excuses. And then, yeah, he was awesome the other day. So he'd be a huge addition if they opted to bring him down. I mean, they've got options with him because, you know, he's a stallion prospect and everything. But, yeah, it's a big carrot, the Everest, and they've got a slot. So I think it'd be fantastic if they brought him down and yeah, he'd certainly add something to the race.
A question without notice, Adam, so I do apologise for this, but yeah, right. From a time form point of view, did you look at 10 Sovereigns as in, you know, if he matches into an Everest?
Yeah, absolutely. I think about 15 minutes after the race, I was already in there digging around and having a look at what he'd done there. And I think there's actually, it was almost quirky how similar, in terms of the time figures that I do and the sectional ratings and things, how similar that was to Santa Ana Lane TJ Smith run. So, yeah, I think he ties in as a very similar sort of level of horse to what we would see winning TJ Smith and such. It's a, you know, you're obviously going around a corner here and you're on the other side of the world. So there's, you know, there's different elements. And yeah, it's obviously a, you know, a tricky task to bring him to the other side of the world. But he's got Aidan O'Brien in his camp. So if they decide to do that, he's got the world's best pulling the strings anyway.
Well, he's there at $13, obviously not with a slot at this stage. 10 Sovereigns, we'll wait and see. Good on you, Adam. We'll hear from you again next week.
Yep, looking forward to it.
Thanks, Adam. And Brad, you'll be back tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock with Ray Thomas to preview every race.
Yep, looking forward to it, Andrew.